If you've ever been to a play or a production or show of any point in time, and the audience and the performer does an excellent job, and the crowd goes wild, and maybe they sing in a concert or in the audience, and the crowd says they brought the house down, and they do a curtain call, and sometimes in the bringing the house down, the main actor will come back two or three times because the audience is so excited and blessed by what that person had done as in their performance. And bringing the house down is that saying that the theater uses, that the show was an absolute success and smash. Well, today we see Samson's finest hour because Samson literally brought the house down. In his final performance of his life, he brought the house down around him, and in the midst of it, brought great glory to God and had done his finest work that God had called him to do. Today we bring this series to an end, and we've been looking at all the different judges in the scripture here in the book of Judges that God had used in this theme, Zeros to Heroes, and we've been learning how God uses us in the midst of our shortcomings, our failures, in the midst of our imperfections. God can use us and use the most unlikely people to bring about glory to himself. Samson was no exception. But as we first met him a couple weeks ago before we went on vacation, we had seen that Samson was a man who had a lot of potential. We'd seen in his birth was supernatural. As you recall, the angel visited his mother and then his father Manoah, and he was conceived supernaturally because his mother could not conceive, and the Lord enabled that to happen. Samson was born. He was called to be given a Nazarite dedicated to God from birth. The Holy Spirit had given him superhuman power and ability, and he had power no greater than any other man had ever had before him. But we had seen how he had wasted a lot of the potential that God had given him. Because Samson was proud, we discovered, and he used a lot of his wealth and a lot of his ability on himself. He used his gift for his own selfish purposes, and we had seen that he was uncontrolled in his anger. And in the midst of his uncontrolling rage, he went off. We'd also seen that he was undisciplined, and that he was careless. And his carelessness led to deception and eventually led to his downfall. And yes, he had great physical strength, but we had seen how he had great weakness within, spiritually, and it led to his downfall. We had seen that he was bound and he was captured by Delilah as she deceived him. His eyes were gouged out, he was chained, and he was put, and the last time we had seen him, he was chained and grinding at a mill place, totally broken. And if that was the end of the story, how sad it would have been for Samson. But the good thing about this story that we learn, and the one main thing we learn about this story, is that our God is able to restore. He doesn't leave us in the low points. Our God is able to give us a second and third chance. Aren't you thankful for that? Because all of us at times have fallen. All of us at times have fallen into sin and have been down in those low points. And we all get in those low points either because of sin or maybe depression or discouragement. And we all get to those points of loneliness and despair. But thank the Lord, he does not leave us there. He lifts us up and he puts our feet back on the rock again. Aren't you thankful for that? And that's the story of Samson. That's the good news as this story comes to a close. Because he was now at a place where he was able to do his greatest work. As the scripture tells us, they were having a feast in honor of Dagon, the god that the Philistines worshipped. And it said that all the rulers of the Philistine there, everybody that was high in Philistine society was gathered for this great feast in this pagan temple of Dagon where they were celebrating Samson's capture. And in the midst of this, they called Samson out to, quote, entertain for them. And I looked up what that word entertain means, and it says that he performed. And I thought, well, what does that mean? As I was reading it, when it said Samson performed for them, what did that mean? And the word perform there means to make jeer of, to make fun of, to make sport of, to jeer him. So when they brought him out, they brought him out to publicly humiliate him. And in that low point, he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord heard his cry and responded and restored his strength one last time. And as they pushed on the walls, on the pillars, the walls came down. And all those 3,000 on the roof and all those in the building were killed. And God restored Samson strength one last time. He was in a place where he could be used of God. And Samson literally brought the house down. And there's two reasons why that happened. And we can learn from this story this morning because it relates to all of us as well. Samson was at a place of his finest hour that he could be because he was finally at a place where God could finally use him. Samson was born, as I had said, born into great blessing by God and had great potential, but he, in his pride, was not at a place where God could fully use him as he wanted to. But now in this low point in his life, he was finally there where God could use him for the glory, that the glory would go to God and not to Samson. Because before, the glory went to Samson. Remember when he killed all those Philistines? He said, I did this. He said, I did this in my strength. And he was proud. But he was finally at that place where the glory would go to God because it was a place of brokenness. Samson was literally broken. He was broken in spirit. He was broken in pride. He was blinded. His heart was broken. And at that place of brokenness, God could begin to use him. Sometimes God has to get us to that point where he has to break our will. He has to break our pride. He has to break us somehow in order to make us usable. David got to that point. And in Psalm 51, he said this. He said, the sacrifices of God, what God desires, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. When we get to that point of brokenness, that's when God can really begin to use us. A broken vessel that can be restored. Samson now was at that place. He was also at a place where he could finally be used because he was at a place of humility. It says here that the festival was going on and they were high in spirits, meaning they were probably drunk at that point. They called and said, bring Samson out to entertain us, to perform for us. So they brought him out to publicly humiliate him. And he was publicly humiliated as he was paraded about in the middle of the temple. And everybody made sport of him. Everybody jeered. Everybody laughed. They said, look at the mighty Samson now. And he who thought he was so great was humiliated and brought down. And he was brought to that place of humility. The scripture says in James chapter 4, verse 6, that God opposes the proud, but he gives his grace to the humble. Samson had to learn that lesson, that his great strength, that his power that he had, was not in himself, but it was in God. And he was the one to whom it came from. And when he finally got to that point of humility, realizing it was God and not him, God could use him. And we have to get to that point as well, that we realize that all that we have is because of him. What good we have within us is because of God. What blessings we have, it's because of him. And anything we do, it's because he allows us to do it. That humility, that spirit, that we need him, and without him, we are nothing. But also, he is at a place he could be used because he was at a place of weakness. He was no longer trusting in his own or boasting in his own strength anymore. His strength was gone. He had nothing, no physical strength to rely on. He was chained. He was blind. He was humiliated. He was completely, not only physically, but spiritually weak at this point. He was a place of weakness. And in that place of weakness, God could use him. Because the scripture says, and I love this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, Paul said that his grace is sufficient for me and for you because my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and in insults and in hardships and persecution and in difficulties. For when I am weak, what? Then I am strong. God had to get Samson to that point where he realized his strength, it all came from the Lord, and it was only through that weakness could he find that strength. It was only through what the Lord was able to do and doing through him. He was finally at that place where God could use him. God takes us to the point of brokenness and humility and weakness. So he gets us to that place that he can use us for his greater glory. And that's where Samson had to go. His finest hour of bringing the house down happened, and he could finally be used of God because he got to that point. And the second reason why he was able to bring the house down, why God used him the way he did, because he was finally at a place where God could fully restore him. And that's the good part of this story too. Not only could God use him, but God was able to restore. In the front of the bulletin this morning, I have a picture of a broken window. And when that window is broken, it needs to be restored and broken and put back together. And Samson's life was broken. He was humiliated. He was weak. He needed that restoration. He was at the lowest point of his life. And this morning, you or I may be going through a time where you're at a low point in your life. Maybe you're a heartache. Maybe you're broken over something. But God is able to restore. His sin had taken him to that point. And when we have fallen in sin sometimes, we can say, can I get out of this? But God can and does restore. And that's the good news. He was at that place where God could fully restore him because it was a place of remembrance. Notice in verse 28, as he cries out to the Lord, and he says in his prayer, O sovereign Lord, remember me. And he cried out that prayer of remembrance because his broken and weak condition made him remember what he had lost. It made him remember his past and made him remember how his birth was so special and how he had been dedicated to God from the point of birth. It made him realize what he had forgotten, what he had lost. And where his sin had taken him. And where his choices led him to. It made him remember and reflect back. Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, a church that was sound biblically, a church that was busy doing things for the Lord, a church that, if we looked at, would have said, this is a great group of people, but yet they had forgotten something. And they had forgotten their first love. And the Lord said to them in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, he says, remember therefore where you have fallen and repent and do the first works. He said, remember back and remember where you used to be in your relationship with the Lord and where you are now. And as he thought back and remembered, he realized how far he had fallen away from. That point of remembrance, God always wants us to look back in some ways so that we can see where we were. And did we love Jesus as much now as we did then? Or have we fallen out of love with him that we need to be restored back? That place of remembrance. And Samson had that point of remembering that he didn't love the Lord like he had once done. Place of remembrance, but leads to the second, the place of repentance. And he cried out to the Lord then and said, O sovereign Lord, remember me in verse 28. And Please strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. And he prayed that prayer of repentance. And that word repentance means a change of heart, a change of direction. And he cried out to the Lord and asked for forgiveness. David, the great king of the, who had been anointed by God to be one of the greatest kings of Israel, God called him a man after his own heart. But we know David as well. And we know that even though David loved the Lord, there is a time in his life when he took his eye off of Jesus, off the Lord, and he focused it on a lady taking a bath. Remember that story? And he put his eyes on her. And it led him to desire her and have a relationship with her, who ended up getting pregnant. And trying to cover up the pregnancy, he tried to have her husband, eventually had her husband killed, and he married her. And he went on thinking that he had covered this sin over and nobody would find out, and it was fine. But God knew. And for a year in his life, he carried that until Nathan the prophet had come and shown him that he needed to repent of it. And he cried out in Psalm 51, "Lord, against you I have sinned. Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Because, see, sometimes we lose our joy because we don't have the joy of the Lord as we should, because maybe we need restoration spiritually. Maybe there's something in our life that we're not right with God as it needs to be. And he said, "Restore me back to where I need to be." And he repented. And he said, "Lord, against you and you only I've sinned." The scripture says in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 19, that if you repent, God says, "I will restore you that you may serve me." That's a promise that when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. He restores us. And 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says that godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings about death. He was at that place where God could restore him because he remembered how far he had fallen and he repented of a sin, which led to a place of restitution where he was restored and his strength was restored to him. It says, "Then Samson reached towards the central pillars and bracing himself against it, and he said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers of the people in it. And God restored him, and God restored his strength and restored him one last time. And the Lord renewed him, because our God is a God of restoration." We see this process displayed and illustrated in the life of the prodigal son. And remember, the prodigal son came and he wanted to take what he had, what his inheritance now. And so he took his inheritance, even though his father was living, and he spent it all foolishly. He came to nothing left, and he was down in the pigsty eating the food that was offered to the pigs. The lowest point of his life that a Jewish boy could be is down in a pigsty eating the food that pigs would eat. And there he got to his senses and said, "Lord," he remembered what he had lost. And he remembered what home was like. And he thought of his father again. And he repented. And he went back. And he was restored back into the fellowship again. And that's what God does for us. So as we bring this to a close, some key takeaways for you and I to apply this to our life. What does this mean? How can I take this to my life and apply it to me today? What's God want me to learn from this? And some key takeaways that we can apply is simply this, that our sin can bring reproach both to God and to others. We need to remember that. It says here that they had a temple. It says in verse 23 that they had all the assembly, they gathered together as a sacrifice to Dagon, their God, and they praised him, saying, "Our God delivered Samson into our enemies." And they took him to the temple and they praised Dagon for Samson's capture, and it made the Philistines think that their God was greater than the Lord. And it wasn't the case, but that's what it made it look like, that Samson's sin ended up bringing reproach on God as well as himself. And our sin can do that. Our sin can cause us to bring reproach on God, and that people say, well, I thought Dan loves the Lord. Look what he's done. And look, and it reflects bad on Jesus. And we need to live our life in a way to bring glory to him and not reproach to him. And that's one of the things we can take away from this story. Another thing we can take away from this story is that sometimes God has to bring us down before he can lift us up. And that was the case with Samson. He was at that point where he had to be broken and crushed and humiliated and brought as low as he could go to the point that he could finally be looking up and seeing the Lord and be lifted up. And sometimes, and then because our pride or our will is so strong sometimes, God has to break us and take us to that low point and get us to that low point where finally we acknowledge him and we can look up. And sometimes that happened. We see that illustrated in Samson's life. The third takeaway is that God hears our cries of repentance. And aren't you thankful for that? That when we call to him in forgiveness, he hears, he forgives our sin, and he restores us. And God hears those cries. It's illustrated in Samson's life. And Psalm 34, verse 6 says, this poor man called, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him out of all of his troubles. That's good news. Fourth takeaway is that no one is beyond God's grace. Aren't you thankful for that? That God's grace is greater than all of our sin. We can never, ever go one sin too far. We can never get to the point where God can't bring us back or restore us again. That's good news that no one's beyond God's grace. That's encouraging for us, but it's also encouraging if you have a family member that you've been praying for and you wonder, will that person ever come to know Christ? No one's beyond God's grace. Aren't you thankful for that? He can restore anybody if we're willing and we turn to him. That's good news. He doesn't leave us in the pit. He can lift us out of it. That's the kind of God we've got. And the last takeaway is that no matter how far we have fallen, God has the power to restore. Samson messed his life up royally. He was at the lowest point. He fell pretty far from where he was to where he ended up. But God didn't leave him there. And God has the power to restore. Our God is a God of restoration. Amen. And that is why Jesus came. He came to restore us. Then we are broken and we had fallen into sin through the garden. And Jesus came to restore us back to himself. He came to put those broken pieces back together again. And you look at our world, and our world is sure broken, isn't it? But Jesus is able to heal that and to put the broken pieces back together again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, Hebrews 11, verse 32, says that Samson ends up in God's hall of fame. He's not a person we would expect to have been there. When we looked at his life, we said, why in the world would he be in the hall of fame? But God restored him and put him in the hall of the faithful. That shows what kind of God we have. That he is a God of restoration. We see it in Peter's life. When Peter denied Jesus three times that he even knew who he was. And Jesus forgave and restored him and made him the one who was kind of the leader of the church in the early days. We see it with David. As I talked about, it was when David sinned and God restored him. We've seen it with Jonah, when Jonah rebelled against God and the Lord restored him and gave him another chance. We have a God who gives us not only a second chance, but a third, fourth, fifth, however many chances we need, God will give them to us. And he can restore broken marriages, broken relationships, broken lives, broken hearts. Because the scripture says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Do you need restoration this morning? Maybe you've fallen into a sin, and Satan, when we do that, Satan likes to beat us up and say it's hopeless. We can't ever get out of it. But our God restores us. And he's here to restore this morning. Is your heart broken? Or are you broken this morning? Let Jesus put the pieces back together and bring the healing that only he can do. Because that is the God we have. A God of restoration. A God of grace. Psalm 23 says that he restores, our good shepherd, he restores my soul. And he leads us in paths of righteousness. Praise the Lord for his restoration and the God that he brings. Isaiah 57 verse 15 says, I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. If you're here this morning and are downhearted, discouraged, or have fallen, you don't need to stay there. Come to Jesus and let him restore you this morning and restore hope and grace and joy once again to our hearts through Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God of restoration. We thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us in the low pit of despair. Sometimes you have to take us there to humble us, to get us to that point where we finally acknowledge you. And that was the case of Samson. His sin led him there, but it was in that point that he finally could realize how much he needed you. And in that point of brokenness, when he was crushed in spirit and crushed in every way, then he realized that his pride was broken and he needed you. That it wasn't his strength, it was only you working through him. And it led him to that point of repentance. And Father, we thank you that when we're in that point, when we cry out to you, you hear our cries and you restore and you forgive us. Lord, I pray for each one here this morning and for those that may be downhearted or discouraged this morning. I just pray that you would restore what, as Joel says, the locusts have eaten. And Lord, that you would bring that restoration and that joy once again and restore to us the joy of our salvation. And Lord, thanking you that no matter how far we may fall, you are able to forgive and restore us again when we just cry out to you. So thank you, Lord, for restoring Samson and the lessons we can learn from him. It shows us the kind of God you are and how you relate to us as well. So thank you, Lord, for this message, for what you've taught us, and for your grace that you show to us daily that is greater than all of our sin. And we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord, and in his name, amen.